In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is my custom, as you know, on occasions like this, to address myself exclusively to the recipient of such a moment like this, a profession, a habit, clothing, and so on. And so it is to you, dear brother, that I am talking today and at this moment. Let us call it my last words, my last instruction to you before you begin your new life as a member of our, a full member of our community. First of all, what I have said, saying to you, I have said to others just like you, my heartfelt and deepest congratulations. You are now one step closer to the priesthood. Those congratulations come not only on my part, but on part of all the members of our house and those of the sisters. You are now more secure because you belong officially, formally, publicly to our community. It is a path of safety. You remember that I have said many times how dangerous it is for a priest to function as a vagus, a wanderer alone, even if he is in the chapel. It's very dangerous, not only for his moral life, but especially to his spiritual life. It is very important, most important, that he live in fellowship with others just like him, with his principles, his values, his desires, his goals. Not only to feel more secure in what you believe, to be supported by them, to be helped by them, by their encouragement, their prayers, even their joviality, all of it sustains you in your life. This is the ordinary way of sanctification. Very few are called to what we call the life of the anchorite, the life of a hermit. Most are called, as you are, to live in community. And even the anchorites have some reference to the church at large, to all the members of the church. And so it is with this, that you have found a safe haven, a place of encouragement, of assistance, of help. And at the same time, to be of help, be of service. Remember I told you, your job here is to make other people happy, to put a smile on their face, to make them feel closer to God, to our Divine Lord, to His Holy Mother. That's your responsibility, living with other people, to be a source of encouragement, of hope. Think back to your vocation in your earliest days when you thought of it. Think too, despite all the mistakes, all the sins, all the obstacles, from all sources, even the most surprising ones, of all the hardships, when all seemed lost. Think of all your trials and so many reasons for discouragement and despair and loneliness and feeling totally forsaken. Think back on those dark days. And nevertheless, our Divine Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Mother did not forget you, did not abandon you when you felt totally abandoned. They did not abandon you. All in their good time, when you were ready, and all these past trials were all moments that God sent to you to prepare you for this moment. Our life is a continuum. There's a connection. People don't think of it that way, but it is true. From the moment of your birth to the moment of your death, all has its place, all fits in your path, in your journey to heaven. And this moment is vitally connected to all the past. See? And you must remember then, you must think, that when all seemed lost, it wasn't. Our Divine Lord had you in mind. Because you see, our Lord and His Mother have a work and a plan for you that you are now officially beginning. And so our Lord puts it this way to His own future priests, of which you are now among them. No longer do I call you servants, because the servant does not know what his master does, but I have called you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. And so it is that now, as you begin your formal training in this house leading toward the priesthood, now that you have left all behind, now you have committed yourself formally and publicly to Jesus Christ our Lord, you have committed yourself to your holy vocation, to the pursuit of sanctity, a lifelong task, and its ultimate divine union as a foretaste of the life of heaven. You have left all others behind. He who loves Father, says our Lord, or Mother more than me, remember that, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who hates his life for my sake will find it. Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake who shall not receive now in the present time 100-fold as much houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, life everlasting. And so, dear brother, commit yourself, dedicate yourself, consecrate yourself, that is to say, belong totally to your destiny, to your future, whatever it is in store for you, to Christ our Lord. Do not look behind. And even those whom you have left, whom you have loved. Now you love them in God, in a new way, not for personal emotional gratification. That's all behind you. Love them in Christ for their spiritual and eternal benefit. That's how you love now, in a detached and supernatural way, with all the charity, the supernatural charity that has been accorded to you. You must then look to the future. Do not look to the past, except to repent of your sins and your weakness. Otherwise, look to the future. St. Paul did. One thing I do, he said, one thing. Forgetting what is behind, I strain forward to what is before. I press on toward the goal, to the prize of God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Your call to holiness of life, sanctity, and the holy priesthood. I press on, unwavering. Many more trials are ahead of you, mostly from the evil spirit, not only from your own weak nature, but from the evil spirit. Remember that the devil, I've said very many times, the devil hates priests and religious and those who aspire to the priesthood. You will be the victim of many attacks and temptations to give up, to abandon what God has called you to. And sometimes you will feel that even God has abandoned you. My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made strong in adversity. Many then temptations and trials from the devil, from the world, from your own weak flesh. But do not lose courage. You not only have heaven behind you, with you, and all the divine assistance of our Lord and Savior and the Holy Mother, our Mother in heaven, who will assist you, comfort you, remind you, just as she did with the apostles before Pentecost. She was with them by God's own will to encourage them, to keep them strong and faithful, to pray with them. What your rosary is like, that you wear, the prayer to Christ through and with the Virgin Mary. And as she reminded them, she will remind you, and you will also have the benefit of your good saints, your patron saints, particularly your own great patron, Saint Anthony, as well as your guardian angel, who never leaves you, who is praying for you even now, and is very happy for this day for you. But you know what else? You have the support of all of your brothers in Christ here and your spiritual fathers, including me. Remember, I told you many times, I will not let you fall. Remember? I say it again, I won't let you fall. I'm with you, behind you, praying for you, every Mass, encouraging you, always here for you. And with that, you will be invincible, invulnerable. Only distrust yourself. As soon as you begin to rely on your own strength, that's the beginning of the end. Distrust yourself. Have trust in grace, divine assistance, on the love of heaven and your brothers here on earth. Trust in that, and you'll be just fine. You'll feel safe. Unlike many people, when you go to sleep at night, your head will rest on your pillow, with a clear conscience, with peace, knowing that heaven is with you, that our divine Savior will not let you fall. Be also prepared to be attacked and ridiculed. I have never said such things before, but we live in these strange and evil times because of the pagans that dominate our world and the modernists inside. Pagans outside, modernists inside. You will be called outdated, disobedient, disloyal, schismatic, even by so-called authorities who are demonic modernists who want to crush and destroy you and the faith that you defend and adhere to. They seethe with hatred against you, as they do with all of us. Do not be thrown or discouraged by their lies. Remember that our Lord himself was falsely accused in his public life and even in his passion. He was insulted, ridiculed, heckled when he tried to speak. Be faithful to truth, divine truth, and to the love of Christ for you and with you. And the Blessed Mother will sustain you and make you steadfast. The Church is now being attacked as never before. Consequently, we need brave, loyal, steadfast, strong, loving priests, tender, zealous for souls, zealous for God's honor and for the liturgy that will be the center of your life, willing to sacrifice. Do you hear me? Sacrifice your good name. Don't hold on to that. You'll be very disappointed. Your good name, your possessions, your health, your life, for Christ and for the Church. Here, we have dedicated our lives and our fortunes to the service of Jesus Christ in his holy liturgy, in true doctrine, morals, and spiritual life. Our lives and our fortunes. And that's what you have been welcomed to, that attitude, that view, that dedication. Many souls, far greater than you, have wished for the privilege of battling for Christ in this world as you have that opportunity. They are ones who envy you, for you have the opportunity to show your love and your loyalty. But at the same time, when you have all of this ahead of you that is dark, I assure you that great joys are also ahead of you. People think of the joys of the world, even the lawful joys of the world. They are nothing compared to the joys of consecration to God, of dedication, of love, of service, of the experience of divine affections and love reserved for those who love our Lord or his friends. Servare Deo regnare est. To serve God is to reign. Since you are called to be raised above all men, being intimately associated, fused on to the hypostatic union, as it were. I have one last thing to tell you. It's my last lesson, if I could put it that way, to you. Why do, if you look around, look even to the past, in the history of the Church, in her sanctity, in her holy souls, why do certain priests seem more powerful, more inspiring, more encouraging of reverence, have more moral authority than many others. Why? Why is it that some priests are just magnetic? The reason is because people see Christ more in them than in other priests. They seem, these priests, to breathe out from their hearts more of Christ. We cannot resist them because Christ dwells in them. They make us aware of his divine presence by their words and their actions. It's like the flame of the Sacred Heart that shoots out from them. No matter what their age, what their nationality, what their country, they just know they are men of God, men that belong to Christ first. And if you ask, how can that be? Why is it that some priests are more like that than others? The reason? It has become because of their Mass, their Holy Mass, and their Holy Communion, which theologians tell us should be more fervent than the previous one. So about the time of the end of your life, your communion is truly a foretaste of heaven, because Christ shares with them his secrets that he shares with no one else. This is the secret of their power, of their strength, of their influence, of their ability to convert hearts. It's the secret right there. And I say that to you, dear brother, because that is what I'm hoping is what happens to you. Make your Mass. Now you assist at it, and soon, please God, you will celebrate it. You will offer it. Make your Mass, your communion, the center of your life. It's what you're all about. Some people say, well, I want to be a priest because I want to save souls, or I want to do good, or I want to... Those are all adequate reasons, but not the one I look for. That's not the reason I look for. When I ask a person, why do you want to be a priest? All those things are fine, but why do you want to be a priest? What I'm looking for in the answer is, because, Father, I want to offer the Holy Mass. That's why. They feel that their home is at the altar. That's where they're most suited. The Mass must be the center of your life. So when, please God, you reach the Holy Priesthood, you discover, as I have done when I was first ordained, now my life has begun. And you now officially, formally, made your commitment to begin your journey. And we are all behind you, praying for you, looking for the day that you too, in your religious consecration, will be led ad altare Dei, to the altar of God. All right. God bless you.